Welcome to our teaching today, where Christ's Word is the center of our world. We are about to listen to the undiluted Word of God from the throne of grace.
I read in verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. And as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abideth in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Verse 16. No, verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear fruit, more much fruit. Wow, that's wonderful. From fruit to much fruit. That's wonderful in verse number 8. And it says, so shall ye be my disciples. Verse 16 says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. So the major reason for ordination is fruitfulness. I think by now you should know that. The reason why we ordain people is to be fruitful. The title is not what really matters. Before I became a bishop, I had pastored the biggest church in the north. I don't even pastor such a number of church now. But then, I only pastored a church. But now I pastor a nation. You know, the focus was just within the four walls of the church. Our church, that's my business. Well, very many, that's all my business. But now, not just our church, the church. In Kano, the church in the city, in Nigeria, and the government also now. We pastor, so the scope of influence has now been enlarged. So not just pastoring a church, but now pastoring, so to say, the church. You know? And I'm so glad tonight, because the reason why I'm here is to let you know that your fruit will abide. It's going to be the center of prayer for this ministry, or for this church tonight. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. So the prophetic word tonight is that the fruit will remain. That amen is suffering from kwashoko. Hallelujah. So the fruit, that's the focus, that's the prayer point tonight. We're going to pray. Thank God we have many men of God here who's going to do the prayer with all of us here tonight. Then look at, look at Mark chapter 13. Let me just read that. I'll come back to John. Mark 13. Just a moment. I want to make an allusion to a story here. I know that should be Luke 13. And verse number 2. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners, mark it, Galileans, that's the, were sinners above all Galileans, because they suffered such things. I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. Talking to the Jews, by the Jews. Or those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. So he gave a parable. What is it? A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none, and said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years, how many years, please? I come seeking fruit on this fig tree. This is a fig tree, not a vine tree now. And find none, cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? So he answered and said to him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till he shall dig about it and dung it, And if it bear fruit, well. If it not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. The planter planted the fig tree 3 years. It came back, no fruit at all. And the judgment here is very peculiar. Cut it down. Because it's of no use to be called a church. It's of no use to say he has a calling or a ministry. Cut it down. In the Old Testament, cut it down. And that is talking about the Jews, actually. Because Jesus had been there and he ministered for 3 years at that time now. And there was no serious issue among the Jews about believing him. So I've been with you preaching this gospel, you know, introducing myself to you for 3 years now. You've not. I think we should be cut off. But an intercessor came and said, don't cut them down. You know, let's dress it. Let's do some more work. If they bear fruit, then so it shall be. Thank God for the intercessor. That's what the Jews cut it down. But when you go to the church, we don't cut them down. But something we do to them. Go back to this, John chapter 15, which is exactly my test tonight. There's something I want to just show you tonight and then pray with you as individuals and also as a ministry, as a church, that this church will have fruit that will abide. One of the most important things to have fruit that will abide. There's no point having your fruit and they don't abide. This boy, my son, pastor, gave an example of a well that was being dug. You remember, like I've told you before, many years ago, you know, I mentioned it here some years ago, and the well that the woman went to fetch water from, the harlot woman, you know, that was a well dug many, many, many years, and yet still giving water. That's a productive and fruitful well indeed that transcended generations. Amen. That's the way I want my life to be. The well I dig, after I've gone many years, people are still drinking from there. That my children, my grandchildren, and the Lord, they will still be drinking. That this well was dug by Bishop Bello, and all of us are still drinking from it. So it shall be for you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So tonight, let's see what the Bible says about the true vine. Now, in Psalm 80 verse 8, actually, Israel was God's vine. Originally, God chose Israel as his own vine. But they failed God. That's in Psalm 80 verse 8. They failed God. Israel was the firstborn of God, so to say. But they failed God. And because they failed God, Jesus now came in John 15 verse 1. And he said, I am the what? Louder. I am the what? All right. That is simply saying that Israel was the vine, the initial vine, but they failed. But now the true vine has actually come. The true vine has actually landed. Now, the problem is that they were not fruitful, not productive. And that's why Jesus came to become the real vine. And then we are not the vine. We are the branch. The problem is that pastors are trying to become the vine. And that's a big problem we have. We are just branches. We are branches. Jesus is the supplier. We are the fruit-bearing branches. The strength proceeds from the vine to the branches. They're going to have a lot of trouble when you think you are the supplier. We are not the supplier. We are the branch that produce the fruit. Now, look at it in verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, it taketh what? Away. Now, you remember what I read to you in Luke. It said, because that olive tree didn't bear fruit. It was full of leaves only. And you remember what Adam did with the leaves in the Garden of Eden. When they fell, it was the leaves of the fig tree that he used to cover his nakedness, which you know now, but he's talking about religion, and just leaves no fruit, you know. But now, Jesus says that every branch in me that beareth not fruit, it takes away. Not like that one in the book of Luke. This one, it takes it away. And what's the meaning of that? I'm going to explain to you. It takes it away. Now, the Greek word takes away is arrow, A-I-R-O. Simply means to lift up. Now, there's a transition from the old to the new. When we deal with the Jews, so to say, the Old Testament, cut it off, but now there's something better than cut it off. Lift it up. That's the meaning of arrow in Greek. Now, the vine must be on the wood. You see, the vine is different from olive tree. You see, when the vine is on the ground, it will not produce anything. It must be lifted by a tree. We need trees to support the vine, so the vine can lean on it. Always clean all the time, but if it's on the ground, it won't bear up any fruit. It must always be lifted up so that it can produce to its capacity. And this is what the Bible is saying. So those of you think that if anybody in the church doesn't produce, just cut him off. Slow down. Don't cut him off yet. I'm going to show you what we're going to do. So like I said, the word arrow here means, to bear away, to take away, to cut off, to carry away, to remove, to lift up from the ground, to take up. Hallelujah. Translator, have to respect the context, because a word can mean many things. You understand? He has to be faithful to the context and use the appropriate one. For instance, if you look at John chapter 1, verse 29, John 1, 29, let me show you some of the verb sense of this word. He says, the next day, John sees Jesus coming unto him and said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away, the same word. All right? Taketh what? Away. Arrow, removing, takes away, carries away the sin of the world. And many preachers are yet to know that the sin of the world is taken away. They say, heap it on the members. Anyway, 1 John 3, verse number 5. and they look at us as if we're preaching a very bad gospel. The sin of the world is what? Your belief makes you become a participant. Now, 1 John 3, verse 5. And ye know that it was manifested to take away our sins, and him there is no what? No sin. So here it means to carry away, to remove. So the word, so the word can mean anything, can mean those circle of words that I've just mentioned. Praise the Lord. So the translator is very careful to be sure that he uses the right word. So those who are not fruitful in the church, what do we do with them? Do we cut them down like Luke chapter 13? Or do we take it away? Do we take it away? Now, Jesus takes it away and walks on it. Now, Romans chapter 14 verse 1, for instance. Now, it speaks about those who are weak. Let's just say that. Romans chapter 14 verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputation. So, those are the ones that are very weak, not too fruitful, very weak. So if a person does not bear fruit at all, what do? Do we drive him out of the church? No. Lift him up. Don't cut him off, because if Jesus does that to some of us, we'll not be alive today. You have to lift it up. I'm going to tell you what to do. You have to work on it and be sure that it becomes very fruitful eventually. So that's what that's what John is trying to teach us. Romans 15 verse 1 says something. Romans 15 verse 1 says, 15:1 Romans. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of what? The weak, and not to please ourselves. In this church, we have those who are strong, we have those who are weak. What I'd like you to know, to feed my sheep and feed my lamb will never end. Those who will be lambs, those who will remain lambs for a long, long time. There are those who always refer to generational curse. Well, it should bear with them because of their unbelief. Praise the Lord. That those who believe, I don't believe in curse generation. I believe in blessing generation. So we have all kinds of people in the church, and our duty is to just bear with them. So we must bear with one another here. Those who are weak, those who are strong, should bear them up. Encourage them. Visit them. Because the purpose of this church is to produce a fruit that will stand. And that's what we want to pray over tonight, that the fruit of this church will surely stand. A louder amen. Amen. So we are to bear up the sick, we are to support them, and then bear their weaknesses. Don't say, since you'll be coming to TSP, what have you learned? You're not growing at all. Well, our speed of growth can never be the same. That's why we must bear with one another. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So, John chapter 15, verse 2, if a man doesn't bear fruit at all, what do we do? We should bear the infirmities. We don't drive them out of the church. We'll put them in fellowship until it begins to bear fruit. All of us here are meant to bear fruit, but then the speed may be different one to another. So John 15 verse 2, let's read it again. It says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, it takes away. Say, it takes away. God will not cut you off. He only takes you away for a little while to train you. Jesus bears you up. He upholds you until you can stand on your own. That's the purpose of a minister and purpose of ministry. So to be fruitful in the ministry, you must be intimate with Jesus Christ and all of that. But then there are those from that John 15, that those who are fruitful, that those who are fruitful in the ministry, look at it in verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, it taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, it purgeth, that it may bring forth, what is it? More fruit. Now, two categories of people in the church. Some are not bearing fruit. They are sons of God. They're daughters of God. The fact that they're not yet productive, you know, not yet fruitful, doesn't mean that they should be despised and cast away. Well, Jesus will never do that. I'm one of those who believe in being patient with people for a long time. Hallelujah. Because patience is fruitful eventually. A useless daughter today can be a useful daughter tomorrow. If I can be a deliverer tomorrow. So you see, Pastor Phil, be patient with the people. You know, Jacob said, you know, he said, the sheep are tender. And I don't want to drive them very hard. Some are slow to understand. Don't cut them off. Just take them up. Some are slow to grasp, you know, things. They are slow to perform, to function. We must bear them up until they are capable of producing fruit. But how about those who are fruitful? Now, what do we do with them? These are commendable. These are fruitful. TSP is only for 4 years now, isn't it? Actually, you're older than 4 years, to be very factual. You're older than 4 years. 4 years was when the name was incepted over the church. You don't understand that one. But it's older than 4 years. Now, we have been fruitful as a church. That's the truth. Then what do we now do? Say, well, yeah, we've been fruitful and we thank God for how far we have come. Do we now slow down? No. It's just a beginning of ministry. It's a beginning of what? Ministry. The church is going to grow big. Are you saying man or amen? No, I need to know what you're saying. Man or amen? Good. This church will grow big. This is the way I speak and it comes to pass. Look, this is not time to say, oh, we have grown after 4 years. Jesus said, the guy that is fruitful, what do we do with him? Do we just celebrate him? Say, oh, you've done so well. In fact, you should be resting now. You've done so well within 4 years. No, this is just a big, if all of you are workers, those who are members of this church here tonight, the only workers. The members are yet to come. Praise the Lord. So, I'm speaking the truth. I see it happening. Hallelujah. I see it happening. It's going to be all kinds. Even whites will be among church members in this place. They will hear about TSP and they will come to worship in this place and be part of here. Because the purpose, what the Lord put in my heart is that your fruit will abide. And to will abide. So those who are fruitful, Jesus said, what do we do with them? He purged it, that it may bring forth what? What I expect from you is more fruit. It's not time to relax and say, well, we have a very powerful choir. No, it's just the beginning of choiring. You're going to have a dynamic choir that they'll hear about in London, in the U.S. They say, have you heard about one choir? The audacity. Amen. So, we have just started. And Jesus is very, very wise. I know you're fruitful, but there's something I want to do to you to make you more fruitful. And that's what I'm doing to you tonight. So we're going to move in a stronger dimension, fly higher, go deeper. You know, I spent many years going deep. When I finished all the depth, I began to rise higher. You know, I was in deeper life for many years. Before some of you were born and born again, I was there. So we must go deep in the word and go high bearing fruit. Because the problem I have with deep is if it's deep and not fruitful, I'm afraid. If you're so deep, you can't smile to your neighbor, I'm afraid. If you're so deep, your neighbor can't get your water in the compound, I'm afraid. I think you are actually very shallow. Am I right? If you're so deep in the Lord, then every offense will cause retaliation. I'm afraid you are shallow. So, we're going to go deep in the Lord and also bear fruit upward. So, it's the beginnings of celebrations. I expect that the next additional 2 years from now, it's going to be a different story. Do you believe that? So, Jesus is not going to say, oh, you've done well. No. He said, well, I'm going to do something to you that will bear much fruit. The Bible says he purged it. Prune. He prunes it or purged it. Now, some people have an idea that Jesus is talking about cutting something. Pruning something means chastisement or rebuking or cutting some behavior out of your character. That's far from it. But that's what I've had all of my years in the ministry. That you purge it, all those bad behavior, purge it. Hallelujah. So it's not cutting things away in form of chastisement. The word prune in Greek means katharo. Katharo means cleanse. Verb, katharo, cleanse. That's what it means. In those days, you know, the farmer normally, when you look at the vine, for instance, the one that falls, you pick it up. The ones that are muddy, you use water to wash them. You wash them, you cleanse them. So the word katairo in the verb form simply means to cleanse it, to wash. Farmers will wash that vine with water. All the dead insects along the stems are cleansed away, you know, so that they can have the power to bring more what? Fruit. So the branches of the deposit of all those parts insect, all of those things are cleansed away so that it will not obstruct the branches from producing fruit. So it's not about cutting, it's about cleansing. Nothing to cut, there's something to just wash away. Now, verse 3, let's see what verse 3 says. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. So clean here means kataros, which is the adjective. You are clean. You are clean. You are kataros. Right? The same word, but verb and adjective. Praise the Lord. So, it all means cleanse. How does Jesus cleanse the church? By the spoken word. So, you are clean through the word that I've spoken to you. He was talking to all those guys, you know? You know the guys? People like Peter, like John. Even Thomas was among those who are clean. In case you want to separate it, this one is holy. This one is unholy. No, all of you are clean. Thomas, is it clean? Oh, yes, it's clean. How about, except one? So all of you are clean except one who is the son of perdition. He was chosen for the assignment. All right, but all the other ones are clean. How do you clean the church? By the spoken word. It amazed me that Jesus said, you are clean through the word I've spoken to you. Not that you shall be clean. You know what I'm saying now? And after that, they misbehaved though. But they were clean. I wish we all have the heart of Jesus Christ and understand his philosophy about what he came to do.
and what they perfected on the cross. So you are clean. Clean. That is why you are qualified to be called saints. Saints is not based on achievement or performance or accomplishment. Sainthood is based on just believing what has been perfected for you. Amen. If I say, all of you here tonight, you are clean by the word Jesus spoke to you. Will you say amen to that? Can you even say amen to that right now? And I know what you are. I know your problem. The law is your problem. When you say you are clean, you say, look at yourself. You look for one law to bring yourself down. Thou shall not tell a lie. I just told one today, but not a clear lie, but partial lie. So I can't be clean. Now, he has seen your future before he said that. You understand what I'm saying? He has seen everything about your life before he said what he said. So I'm not encouraging lying. No. You know, when you're born again, some of those things become alien to you. They don't fit you there. Yeah. I mean, you know, they don't resemble you anymore. But the issue is this. It's not the do or you don't that makes you to become clean. Jesus' blood cleanses you. Amen. I say amen. A bigger amen. Amen. So the more you sit on an anointed teaching, the more clean you become, so to say. So the word cleanses you every time. The more you read the Bible, the more you listen to read word of God, the more you are clean. Praise the Lord. So, you know, and if you realize this meeting took place at the upper room. This incident that I just spoke to you right now, when they said you are clean, it was in the upper room. Where? When? John 13. Let's look at John 13. Let me show you what happened there. You can make connection. John 13 from verse number 12. John 13 verse 12. Quickly. John 13. So after he... No. Go back to verse 10 to make it easier to understand. All right? All right. Jesus said to him, he that is washed... Oh, no. Go back to verse 8. In fact. Amen. Verse 8. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Listen, the next verse. Good. Jesus said to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. Are you getting what I'm talking about here? Now, Jesus began to wash the feet of the disciples in the upper room. That was when this one happened. And then when he said that to Peter, he said, wash not only my feet, wash my head. All of that. Verse 10 is saying that, you see, when you have taken your bath, you don't need this kind of washing. To bath is to be saved. When you bath, you are saved once and for all. You cannot be resaved. You are saved only one time. You only need to be washed. That's what the verse is saying there. Now, Jesus said to him, he that is washed, he that has taken his bath, needeth not save to wash his feet. You see, once you are born again, you are born again. But you can be washing your feet, your hands, your head, but you are born again. You have taken the shower. Shower there, simply is to be washed there, is to be saved. You are saved once. But you can be washing your hands and all of that. So there's a difference between washing a part of your body and taking your bath. You only need to wash your feet daily. But Jesus is saying, for you, you're already clean by the word I've spoken to you. That simply establishes the meaning of that scripture I just, you know, said to you. So, church, what am I saying today? I'm saying to you that work is just starting. Praise the Lord. And we should not despise those who are weak among us. We must carry everybody along onto this state of perfection in terms of fruitfulness. Acts chapter 40, verse 28 to verse 31. And then what does it say? Let's see what it says. Acts chapter 40, 28 to verse 31. Praise God. Isaiah chapter number 40. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainted not. And by the grace of God, you will not faint. Neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. Next verse. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might increases strength. The next verse, all right? Even the youth shall faint, and the youth are said to be strong, and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not what? Faint. Now, you know, what is old age? Simply, the absence of strength. Sickness and weakness and growing old is the absence of strength. Hallelujah. It came the young people and say, well, I'm still very young, not like old people. He said, even the youth shall what? Fall and fail. But there's something that everybody needs, whether the youth or the old. They that wait upon the Lord. Now, to wait there in Greek means quaver. It means binding together. When you bind yourself together with the Lord, you and the Lord are intertwined together. Like the branch intertwines with the vine. All right? So if you intertwine with the Lord, you'll be fruitful even at old age. So when you wait upon the Lord, you spend time with the Word and with the Lord, and you will soar like an eagle. You will run and walk. And when you look at the order, it's not like the world. The world will start to walk, you run, and you soar. But God begins to soar. So you will soar. Then you will run, and then you will walk. Because you're beginning with strength. Amen. I say amen. So when you start with God, you start to soar, and you begin to go high. And that's my prayer for this ministry. Praise the Lord. I say praise the Lord. So don't accept the symptoms of the enemy. Just believe that you are strong, and by the grace of God, you fulfill destiny in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You must understand as a ministry that work is just starting. So the only way to be fruitful is to intertwine with the Lord, to listen to the word of God. That's what, you know, Romans, you know, 7, you know, is teaching us. But don't forget that God will not cut you off and throw you away because of your level of strength. Not at all. Instead, Jesus will bear you up. He will uphold you until you can stand on your own. So to bear fruit, remain married with Christ. Romans 7 from verse 1 to verse number 8. It's when you are married to Jesus that you can bear fruit. So church, don't depart from grace message. I'm sure you know the story in Romans chapter 7, right? That speaks about as long as the man is alive, the woman is bound to the wife. As long as the man is alive, all right? He said, but now you are dead to the law by the body of Christ. Because Christ died, you are now dead to the law, that you'll be married to another man who is raised from the dead. So your marriage should be with Jesus. Please, I beg of you, church, don't ever depart from your marriage with Jesus Christ, the message of Christ. Whether I'm alive or dead, stay with it. Very important, because that is the source of hope for the world now. It's a message of grace. Grace doesn't mean licentiousness. I don't understand how these folks read their Bible. They spend all their lifetime in the law, and they keep teaching us that those who teach grace are making things difficult, and they're making this gospel cheap, and they're making people live in sin. What a nonsensical statement. It's an insult to grace. How could you say that in the light of the Bible that says, look, sin shall not have dominion over you because you are not under the law. Can't you see the Bible? And if you're under the law, what do you think will happen to you? If you're under the law, what happens to you? Sin will have what? So law is not the solution to the problem of sin. It's not at all. And people are making the church getting blinder more. Praise the Lord. So what am I here to say to you? I'm letting you to know. Stay with Jesus to be fruitful. The only way your fruit can abide is when you stay with him. If you stay with law, one day you may labor and discover that all your fruits are gone. If not here, at the end, they are not accepted. If you want to stay with Moses, then you only see the promised land, you will not get there. But if you want to go with Joshua, which simply means Jehoshua, the Savior, they will take you. And so I want to charge you, stay with this gospel. That's how you can be productive. It's in Romans. It's, I believe you know. Okay. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also have become dead to the law by the body of Christ. I don't know what is wrong with preachers. Dead is dead. Dead is dead. You can't be alive to the law with one part of your message or life. Don't get me angry. He also dead, become dead to the law by the body of Christ. That is when Christ died for you, you died to the law instantly. And you should be married to another. Another. Even to him who is raised from the dead. That is to say that we are not married to Jesus before the cross, but the one after the cross. That we should bring forth, what is it? Fruit. The only way to be fruitful is remain married. Lord will just not let you make you fruitful. That's not my concern tonight. So the conclusion is stay with Jesus. You'll bear fruit. This church will produce fruit. So like I said, for all of your lifetime, whether my life or death, stay with this message. To bear fruit that is Christ related. Ishmael's son is called Hagar, right? Hagar? Sorry, that's the mother. Hagar's. Say it better than what I've said. Hagar's son is called what? You know, you can see the blessing that he received. I mean, it's not the product of promise. The fruit in this church will be a product of promise. Not just that we labor, Jesus, we labor. Labor, I know, it's not labor. You can labor and yet not be productive. Labor is not the thing, but favor is the real thing for you. So please, son, stay with this gospel of grace. People will persecute, people will talk against that, but whether they like it or not, it's gaining ground. The fathers are rethinking. The sons are becoming rebellious because they have not understood the truth. It's a matter of time to explode and cover the whole earth. So please, I beg you, stay with this. That the only way, except you abide in me and my words abide in you, you cannot bear fruit. Praise the Lord. So tonight I want to leave it at this, that you should stay with your husband, that you produce fruits. And like John 15 said, your fruit in this church will abide. Amen. A louder amen. Amen. A louder amen. Amen. Summary, what have I said tonight? One, you are called to bear fruit. Praise the Lord. For those who are not yet fruiting in this church, check yourself. You cannot be here for 4 years and doing nothing. Do something. Don't waste the grace of God in your life. All of you have graces of God in your life, the gift of grace. Praise the Lord. And you should understand that you are not supposed to waste it. The grace doesn't fail, but you can fail of the grace of God. Don't fail of the grace. Choir, measure up to the grace that God has given to you. So if you are not productive yet, you're not fruitful, will not cast you out. No. You know, that's not what the Bible is saying. A cut off. I've had that message many times. I said, oh God, what should I do now? Don't cut me off. It simply means it takes up. So it can put you in fellowship. Pray more for you. Speak more to you until you become very fruitful. Praise the Lord. And those of you who are fruitful, it will what? Cleanse. Not punish. Purge you. No, not punish. It's not going to punish you. It will just cleanse you. Remove all the dust. So that you can be fruitful. All is talking about the gospel of grace. And as soon as much and as long as you remain with Christ, you will be fruitful in Jesus' name.
This concludes this message. Thank you for listening, and for more information about the Standpoint Church, visit our social media platform on www.facebook.com/standpointabj, twitter.com/standpointabj, instagram.com/standpointabj, and on soundcloud.com/standpointabj.